We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, February 10th. I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
And I am Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class 2015. I can't believe it's already February 10th. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, early parts of the year, I always feel like it flies by. This January has been, it has flown, but it's also been slow. It's been a weird combo for me. We haven't exactly been on the road a lot this month. We only played the one show in January. We had one show this past weekend. I couldn't make it because we had our wedding shower over in Beaumont, which was a blast. It was so much fun. But yeah, we're finally getting back on the road coming up here 21st of February. But in that point, things are going to start feeling a little bit more speedy because we're going to actually be moving. But at least for the short term.
It's like the old saying, the days drag, but the weeks fly by.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that at all. But yeah, life's been pretty good over here. Alex is getting moved in here next couple weeks. So it's just...
You're turning into an adult. Look at you.
Craziness. I've already had to clean up this office. My guest bedroom's been completely cleared out. Half my closet's been cleaned out. So we are just...
You have prepped correctly.
Yes, we are prepping correctly. We're not doing it while she's getting here. Let's actually make the room before she gets here.
Yeah, probably a good thing you got the closet cleared out.
She appreciates that. We all do. Life's good and great. But yeah, we set up and watched. This past weekend was pretty light. But did get a chance to lock in and check out the Super Bowl and all the entertainment that was going on there.
Football is officially over for the year now. What a lame game. Was it 9-0 at the half? And it was 12-0 after three quarters. Like that was just like it. It was just kind of bad football, honestly. It wasn't very exciting. 15 punts in the game.
A lot of punts.
And Drake May, my dude, like you're not going to win a lot of Super Bowls throwing for 79 yards and two picks.
Well, and the reality was kind of coming into this, watching how the playoffs kind of moved, for whatever reason, it just felt like the Patriots' path wasn't all that crazy to deal with. And I think that got exposed against the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I go back to that Patriots-Texans game, and if C.J. Stroud had a pulse, the Texans would have been in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's because their defense was just out of control. But, yeah, lame game, lame football. That's fine, though. I didn't really pay a ton of attention to it. I mean, by the time we got to 9-0, I was like, really? This is what we're doing? So,
defense, baby.
Yeah, sure. Kind of a crap way to end the year with a crappy game. So it's all over. And I know we got a question kind of that relates to Super Bowl. I guess we can get into it now or we can do it at the end of the show.
John fired in our lone question for today, which was, what is our all-time favorite Super Bowl commercials? I think number one, it wasn't from my era. This was significantly older. But the classic with Coca-Cola and Mean Joe Green.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be on the list.
That's one of my all-time favorites. No question.
Trying to think. I mean, almost any of the Clydesdale commercials for Budweiser are great. This year's was like, in a world that's a little bit different these days, Budweiser got in a 67 Camaro and just slammed on the gas. Like it was just like flying a flag out the window. Like I was just as patriotic of a commercial I've probably seen. The Bud Light, I remember the What's Up. It was kind of obnoxious, but it literally like sparked a cultural thing.
Yes.
Like everybody was doing that. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorites is definitely going to be Terry Tate, Office Linebacker.
Yeah, that one was really good. The GoDaddy commercials back in the day were amazing. Old Spice with the gentleman on the horse.
Oh, yeah, when he first came out. Yeah, when he first came out.
Right. Let's see. Eat a Snickers. Did You Not Yourself When You're Hungry? Betty White playing football.
No, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. That's not what your girlfriend said. Betty White saying that.
Probably one of the most classic, I think it was a Super Bowl commercial, I can't remember, was when Michael Jordan and Larry Bird basically played horse for a for like a Big Mac.
Right.
And they were like off the scoreboard, off the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing but nets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a classic.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. I mean, that one will.
I mean, it was like cultural. It was a cultural thing.
Yeah, it will live rent-free in my head for a very long time. That was a good commercial.
The beer companies generally dominate.
Yeah.
Generally dominate the Super Bowl ads, like with creativity.
Yeah, so, no question.
Yeah.
And of course, if we're going to go serious, I mean, God Made a Farmer.
Oh, yeah.
Always hits. That was a great commercial back in the day as well. So there's a few of ours.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, let's go ahead and dive in some Aggie sports, man. Yeah. We'll start with the one that hadn't started yet. So let's start with Aggie baseball. So obviously Aggie baseball, we are what, 3 days away, right? 3 days out from Aggie baseball starting up their schedule. And I don't know much about this team, man. I mean, I know the returners. I know we got Groback, and I know a little bit about this team, but it's one of those where, I mean, we're starting off nice and simple, Tennessee Tech. I mean, that should be nice and simple. We're starting off ranked 25th, which I could see and maybe not. I have no idea what to expect out of this baseball team. Like, none.
Yeah, I mean, after last season, this all goes back, obviously, to 2024, right? You look at the 2024 season, what it was, what this team was under Jim Sosnagle and all those units that were on that team and just how excellent they were, as well as the youth of Gavin Grahovac and all of the other great players that we had on that ball club. And we go into this past season and things were interesting, right? I mean, if you look back at the 2025 Aggie baseball season, you know, we would absolutely lose to teams that we were like, what on earth are we doing losing to these guys? Or just getting cooked by people. But then you turn around after those type of performances and beat up on a team like Tennessee or Arkansas or whoever.
It was so Jekyll and Hyde last year. And that's, I mean, pick your sport. This applies to them all. Like, you have to have a level of consistency. Like, you have to. If you want to succeed at a high level, you have to play at first of all, you got to just play consistently, because the up and down, the roller coaster stuff catches up to you mentally. Like, it's harder on you mentally to be good than bad, because the players are asking the same questions. Like, what the hell just happened this weekend? Right. Like Missouri.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
I bet they walked away from that and they're like, what in the fighting Texas Aggie hell just happened?
Well, because you had a shot. You win that series. Hell, you take a game or two. Things are looking up, right, on the back end of this season. But
yeah, well, that was probably the most frustrating. Is it's not like you had to sweep the series.
No, you needed a game. It's a weird dynamic, right? I mean, everything that we're seeing coming up, it is a goofy, goofy dynamic coming into this season, with the coaching shuffles that took place right beforehand. But yet, you have players on these early preseason watch lists. I mean, a couple of guys on the Golden Spike, including Caden Sorrell, which is always exciting to see him getting back into it. Fresh corn.
Man, I hope Sorrell can stay healthy, man. Him and me too. I want to see this team, I want to see what this team can do with their healthy throughout the year. We already lost a pitcher, so we're one of the unluckiest programs, I swear. But
yeah,
I want to see what this team can truly do, you know? And I'm excited to see Hakopi, and I'm excited to see, obviously, Sorrell and Grahovac. But I think, it's almost repeating what I said about softball. I mean, so much is going to come down to pitching. Like, because if not, you have got to outslug people. And if you got to outslug people and you're in the SEC, that means you have to outslug SEC pitchers.
Which is
and tough. That's a tough road to hoe for an entire season. So I'll be interested to see who the weekend starters end up being Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I would guess that it's possible that because we had an injury, Sundays might be a little bit by committee early in the year. And that's kind of feels what it always is. You know, early in the year, you're trying to find that Sunday starter. And so I just, I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad we're just easing into it a little bit. Well, we have Penn the second weekend, something like that. So, and then a few weeks we go to the baseball MG whatever thing it is. I think that's how you pronounce it. I think it's a bank. But then you play like actual names: Virginia Tech, UCLA, Arizona State. So I don't know if they're, any of those three are ranked, but those are named programs. You're not playing Ivy League. You're not playing, super patsies. And so have a couple of warm up weeks, couple of warm up weekends. You got a Tuesday game as well, and then just honestly, it's gonna be one of those where I feel like it's gonna be 3 weeks or so before we get a really good pulse on this team.
Yeah, unfortunately, right? I mean, we're going to go through Tennessee Tech, go through Penn, and then yeah, you get your first real shot up there at Globe Life Field.
Oh, it's a Globe Life this year. I think it was in Houston or Globe Life. Okay.
That one will be in Dallas, and then you're going to get the 3-run with Oakland. After that,
Is it just
SEC
me?
play.
Is it just me, or we do not play like we play better in Houston than we do in Dallas?
We did excellent in Dallas last time.
Do I have that backwards?
Well, Houston has been kind of a crapshoot. Like we've had years where we've swept down there, and we've had years where we've been swept. Houston is
Which
goofy.
one? Which one was the year where we, like the only win we had was Indiana, I think, something like that. Yeah, we had one where like we just it just absolutely laid an egg at one of those. It's been
Don't
a few
remember.
years.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But the other thing though about the season, to look, it's Michael Early's second year, and from everything that I've heard, and take that, with a grain of salt, but I do have some people with connections. Things are different in the locker room. He learned his lesson about, being a coach. That's the difference between being the hitting coach and being the head coach. And it sounds like he has changed some things, very specifically on how he runs the team and how he runs the program, which are changes that I'm sure that when the season was over, he sat back, tried to take an objective view, and said, "Hey, I've got to change some of this stuff, right? Like, I'm identifying things that I did wrong, identifying things that I did right, just like any good coach will do, whether you have a good year or a bad year." And so I'll be interested to see Michael early in year two. I think all the coaches picked us to finish like 13th, which is crazy because you think about some of the talent we do have coming back and some of the talent we have, from the transfer portal. So it's just, I'm a wait and see guy with this team. I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, I mean, that's about the only place I can be right now because the expectations are not exactly stellar, right? If you have preseason pick 25, they're not really, it's like, okay, you're kind of on the edge of being ranked. You're kind of on the edge of really being relevant for the national conversation.
Yeah, I can deal with 25 though.
I think 25 is a good starting place, certainly better than starting one. I just, don't need to go down that rabbit hole at this point
No,
because.
no.
It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, we've done what we needed to do. Preseason to show people we think we're moving in the right direction. I like to think we're going to be decent. I would like to see improvement. Pray this is a tournament team, of course, but I mean, you go down the list of the teams we're facing this year: Oklahoma, Georgia at home. You like seeing that one at home. Missouri on the road. That one's going to be what it's going to be. Vanderbilt at home, always a tough deal. Texas. Oh no, excuse me, I lied. Yeah, Vanderbilt at home, Texas at home.
Yeah.
Right? LSU on the road, which is always tough at the box. Florida on
That
the
is
road.
weird though. We've had success recently at the box.
We have.
I mean, we've had some really good teams, but
Sure.
yeah, I mean, we said this enough times though. Aggie baseball is not a program that should hope to be in the tournament. All
No,
right.
they
I'm
should
not
be a
gonna say
tournament staple.
we're not a super regional or fire everybody, super regional or bust kind of program, but hosting regionals should happen more often than not. But this a Texas A&M with its facilities and especially the new facilities. I don't know if you saw the renderings that came out. The
It looked
development
nice.
yes. I mean, it should be some of the best, if not the best, in the nation. Our resources, what will soon be our facilities, Texas A&M should every single year be in the field. Like I'm a firm believer that even if you're not hosting. Like
Right.
A&M should be in the field. I mean, you might have a down year every once in a while. I understand that. But the expectation with Aggie baseball should be you are in a regional every year.
I
Whether
agree.
it's at College Station or it's at Olsen or it's somewhere else, you should always be in a regional, given the program's not only history, and not that history makes, just because you have history doesn't mean you deserve to, but your history combined with the facilities, combined with the support, It just we should be in the tournament every year. And if we don't host, we don't host. But that's just it's a
A&M's,
failure every year if you're not in the postseason.
yeah, A&M's pedigree is enough to say this is a solid postseason program and has been a competitive program over the last several years, deep in the postseason. So, granted, understanding this was under a different coach, it was a different situation, but A&M has even historically been in those positions, just not getting over the hump of being overly competitive. Sorry about that. If we're talking about a lot of, I mean, the expectations have been set as far as like, you know how deep you can go. We've seen that this team is capable of doing that. We just got to see if they can pull it off. See what happens.
A&M, I mean, A&M should be a perennial contender. Maybe not for the whole thing, but I mean, if you miss a regional, it better be one out of every 10 or 15 years. One. This Texas A&M is a good enough of a program. And, I'm not saying, the amount of titles or anything like that. I get it. But I think any logical and rational person would say that A&M is the type of program that's a plug and play. It doesn't matter the coach you put in there. A&M baseball as a program should recruit the talent that can make the field every year.
Yeah, and on top of that, you have phenomenal fan support. Always has been,
Yeah.
right? And it's its own little sub cult within the cult, and it's something that we appreciate. We really hope that the guy's gonna develop, pull it out, and make it awesome. Because I hope
Yep.
it's a great season.
Well, all starts on Friday, so we shall see. And again, like I said, it'd be 3 weeks before we know anything. I mean, unless something just goes completely off the rails.
Right.
And I don't expect that to happen.
No.
All right. Well, I guess we can stay on the diamond here. Let's talk about softball.
Yeah, it's all over.
Softball's underway. I just saw right before I hopped on that they are up to number eight in the polls. They only have one loss. It was the Aggie Classic this weekend. They took one. If you weren't paying attention, it was us, number one Texas Tech, and then just kind of some beaters, right? The programs you pay to come in and get pummeled. But you pummeled them.
Yeah, you pummeled the team you were supposed to pummel, and you were very, very competitive against Tech.
And honestly, that Tech game, it could have gone either way. It turned into a pitcher's duel. What was interesting to see was obviously Tech is going to lean on their million-dollar pitcher. But we were kind of pitching by committee and it worked. And it's weird for us to see because we're so used to seeing Emily Kennedy for 5 straight weeks. And so it'll be interesting to see how the pitching moves forward. But to get the pitchers in and run through the number one team's lineup, and I was encouraged. You hate to lose, you never want to lose, but
I'd rather lose now.
And hanging with Tech, it's impressive, man. We looked good. I mean, you move up in the polls after losing, so that shows you like maybe the pollsters in softball actually watch the games, right? Maybe they watched us play Tech and go literally toe to toe for 7 innings.
Yeah. When we go to Clearwater here next week, we have a chance to really kind of secure that with a couple of ranked games.
Yeah, it's what number 23 Oklahoma State and what number 19 NC State or
19 Duke.
Duke. NC
Yeah.
State's there though, right?
Right. It's NC
Okay,
State, James Madison, Northwestern.
yeah. So you, another opportunity, and her the way Tricia Ford scheduled the preseason or non-conference, excuse me. This team is going to be battle tested by the time they get to conference, which you have to be. I mean, it's the SEC, and we said it last year and the year before, whatever the hell. Like SEC softball only got stronger by adding Texas and Oklahoma, who are two of the perennial powerhouses in the sport.
Now, if you go to
Well,
we also have the Mary Nutter class, Collegiate Classic after that, which will also include Duke, but we'll be playing number 14, Oregon. And then moving on from there, you've got number 8, Nebraska, and number 7, UCLA. So you are playing top level competition
yeah,
this whole preseason before we
I
even
love
get
it.
to the Invitational.
Yeah, so it's one of those where you're probably not going to be undefeated per se, which obviously we already know that we're not. But like taking a couple of losses is okay, but these are also great opportunities to get some really great wins.
Yes.
So I love how she scheduled the non-conference. This team is going to be ready by the time it gets to SEC play. And you know me, I've said it a million times, I am a massive Tricia Ford fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of her work. I mean, Obviously, losing in the regional stung because, of
Yeah,
course, he's always going to,
it's just a collapse. It's all it was. I
but
mean,
you got to like the direction it's moving. Plus, I mean, the nice thing about this season that I do appreciate is looking forward into the schedule. Yes, we get a good round of SEC competition with teams like LSU and, of course, Kentucky and Georgia and Ole Miss. But you get Texas on the schedule this year on the road, which is a good opportunity. And
it's
then
a
you
big
get
ask.
oh, and then you get Oklahoma at home to close out the regular season.
Yeah, that's a big ask.
Yeah. Now, granted, Oklahoma was kind of off to a slow start in their own right.
But I mean, who knows what this team is going to turn into by the time we get there? I mean, what Maddie Walk, or was it Walk? I think is her name. She hit like 533 on the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, so and I know, I mean, there were some beaters in there, but you know, I. Again, so softball, I think it's easier to be po more positive than it is with baseball,
Sure.
because even though they blew it in the regional last year, we know we have the talent. Despite us missing or losing some big names, we brought in some big names. They performed this past weekend, and we saw that we don't need, you know, we don't need to have one pitcher. We have arms that we can throw out there kind of in any situation. And again, Texas Tech isn't number one just because of that pitcher, okay? So I mean, this was a pitcher's duel, and we brought out multiple pitchers to show that our staff as a whole can handle the number one team in the country. So
Which
again, hyper positive for Aggie softball. I can't wait to get out to some games. I mean, they'll be, you know, from Florida to California the next couple of weekends,
yeah, there'll be
but that,
opportunities very
and I
soon.
will say that's another one. You know, with Davis Diamond and with the success that Trish Ford has had with the program, the atmosphere at Davis Diamond is an absolute blast too. It's obviously going to be different than Olson. It's a different crowd, right?
It's supposed to.
But I mean, they got the bubbles, they're loud, they're rowdy, and you know, softball, you know, the girls in the dugout are yelling and doing cheers and yelling and doing all that stuff. So it's they man, again, I'll say it every year. I'll probably say it dang near every week. Man, if you haven't been out to Davis Diamond for a game yet, I highly recommend doing it, especially considering that it's always more fun when it's fun, right?
Which
So
it absolutely is fun. And when you're winning,
when
it's way
they're,
more fun.
yeah, when they're good, it's more fun. This is a good program. That you want to talk about a program that you expect to be, you know, in the postseason every year. This is one of them.
Yes. And I
Yeah.
have no doubt they will be. I mean, they've been trending up year
Yeah.
over year, and that's a great sign considering the direction we were moving at the end of last season. So let's hope that this continues to push.
Well, in the direction the program was moving before the coaching change is
Right.
probably a good line of demarcation for softball.
No question.
But yeah, looking forward to softball as well. Again, baseball's wait and see.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Well, and then we got
Hoops.
bouncy ball.
Yeah, hoops.
Oh yeah, men's hoops. So two disappointing losses. You know, this is a kind of a tough 5-game stretch. Lost to, that Bama loss just stings.
Well,
It
here's the
stings.
deal. They just revoked old boy's eligibility, and he had 5 points in our game. So,
Yeah, we lost by three. Just we'll get into that. But yeah, tough loss to Bama. But you know, on the road, tough fight. It was a great game to watch. Florida, this was the perfect example of when Buckyball has a bad night, it's ugly. And it's not always going to be like that. I said something about, you know, a tough loss. You know, you just, you know, if you can't hit the broadside of a barn when you're shooting and they're breaking your press, like it's a bodily function, like it's that's you're going to get your doors blown off, especially by a team like Florida, who apparently are all about 9 feet tall.
well, I'll say, well, they can play bully ball where we're stuck with Bucky ball. And when bully ball can really put in the emphasis that it can, unfortunately, that's what happens.
Yeah, well, and then it's just a combination of them playing probably, you know, A minus basketball for them
Yeah.
and us playing about D grade basketball. So when you put that, it's a bad combo all the way across the
It
board.
was.
But I said something. I said, you know, but you know, Buckyball's still fun. Some dude's like, you guys haven't beat a ranked team yet. Have you seen my roster, man? That's the thing. And I love the guys on the roster. They play hard, but this was a thrown together like Bad News Bears kind of roster. We had one dude when he showed up, and that guy wasn't on scholarships. We had one walk-on. That was our entire roster. So the casual basketball fans are like, oh, you guys are beat Well, yeah, but you're a moron.
Right.
So these next three games are important. Over that 5-game stretch, the thought was, if you can just go 3-2, then you got nothing to worry about, right? Because I think KenPom, I think Luke put this out. KenPom has us finishing like 6-2, and if that's the case, then we're a tourney team, no problem. So
One thing
it's.
I mean, look at it in the next three games. Missouri, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Two of which are at home.
Yeah.
Take
Yeah.
advantage of it. See what you can
Yeah,
pull off.
you gotta take advantage of the next three games. And then finish it out 6-2. That's you're good as far as the tournament's concerned. A ridiculous first year success, well north of probably what any of us obviously expected. I think we were all just like, let's spend a year seeing what Buckyball is. That's what it felt like, right? But obviously, tremendous success in the first year. And why I'm excited about Buckyball is now, instead of him going out and recruiting and selling a vision, he has proof that there is success. I think we talked about this before. And so the ability for him to get through a recruiting cycle and bring people in, but play this same style of basketball, it's like anytime, it doesn't matter what your plan or strategy is. If you have better athletes, you're gonna be better. It's pretty simple. And then on top of that, if you have enough, you have enough guys that you're developing that have been in the system long enough and truly get Buckyball as well. Because again, it's a different style of ball, man. It's just straight different. And so having those guys who have been in the system, and that's where we've been helped with. We had transfers that have played in Buckyball, but it's just so it's this is development. Like, we weren't supposed to be this good in year one. All right, like that's the thing. This wasn't supposed to work.
Yeah.
We were all just supposed to be excited.
Yeah,
So,
and I think that's the thing that's going to resonate with me about this team. Like, this is the team that's going to be looked at as like the groundwork laid the foundation for what this is going to grow into, right? And once he actually does have the opportunity to get those recruits in, once he has an opportunity to, well, I mean, right now, what we're getting to see is a nice little marketing ploy, basically. He's out here saying, "See, look at this. We're able to beat better teams than us, bigger teams than us. And imagine if you were in this system,
Yeah.
you
And it's
know?"
not like we're bereft of talent by any means. I mean, and some of these players, you're talking about this being a foundational year. Some of these players, like Aggies, are going to remember for a long time.
Yeah, AG's up that list for sure.
AG, maybe Pop Isaacs,
Yeah.
Griffin. They're fun to watch. They play just with complete reckless abandon in the sense that, the expectations were probably so low from the outside. But, on the inside, every single one of them, nobody starts a season and goes, "Hey guys, let's see if we can get 5 wins this year in conference."
Yeah.
That's the goal. Like, that doesn't strike Bucky doesn't strike me as that kind of coach where
No.
he's okay with a building year. So it'll be interesting to see where they go just with the rest of the regular season. Maybe even see how they I want to play Florida again. They're kind of punks.
Yeah, we might see them.
I'd love to see Florida again in the SEC tournament. Absolutely. But at the same time, this is one of those things. If we're comfortably in the tournament, do you want to put a couple extra games on those legs, like Buckyball legs? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
if we go one and done in SEC, I'm probably okay with that, oddly enough, just because
If we've secured a spot in the tournament by that point, more or less, yeah, I
I
agree.
mean, there's just so much wear and tear. I mean, it's such a tough style. I mean, it's just 40 minutes, man. I mean, I know
Yeah.
they rotate, and I know they've got a lot of guys that have been able to put in meaningful minutes, which obviously helps. But still, it just by the end of the season, it's tough. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. They need to finish out strong. So
Yep. Let's see if you can't take these next three or four games before you have to take on Arkansas on the road. If you can blitz through these next four, I got to be feeling pretty good because you get Texas immediately after that Arkansas game in College Station. That's going to be a ripper, you know.
Might beat the attendance that came from the Florida game,
It
like
might.
13 threes, like 12. I don't remember what it was, but
Yeah, there could be
huge number.
a ton of people in there. And then
But
after that you get Kentucky at home, which is also great.
best case
LSU on the road.
scenario, the back end of the season. So this 5-game stretch is tough, but then the back end after coming out of this 5-game stretch after the next three games, like it sets up well for you at least, right? Sets up, as well as it probably could have set up.
No complaints on that one.
So lots of, yeah, still plenty of excitement, to be had with Buckyball and to see how things work between the SEC tournament and then obviously, the NCAA tournament, March Madness. Unless they take a, unless they just go into full-blown tailspin.
It's going to be very
So
fun to
speaking
keep up with.
of basketball,
Yes.
specifically the NCAA, Betty Akpo from Alabama, a G League player with a two-way contract, played in three games, five games, three games.
Lot of
Three
enough
games.
games to make an impact.
Yeah, and he's a seven-footer. I mean, you're obviously gonna you're a seven-footer who's been practicing with G League players who generally are better than everybody in college. And for some reason, this the thought for him to play, somebody just said it was okay. So he plays for Alabama. And finally, an adult in the room stands up and says, "You know what? You know what? This is the most asinine thing I've ever heard. I already realize that college sports are pretty much out of control, and I get that, but I am going to put my foot down. I'm going to draw the line, and I'm going to tell you all why you're dumb." And I'm so glad finally somebody came out and did that because it is completely ridiculous for him to be playing back in college. Absolutely ridiculous. Now the question is, what do you do with those games? Do you vacate the losses?
I mean, at this stage, I think you almost have to, right? Because, well, I mean, granted, they won't. They may not. I don't know.
They probably won't. If that's the ruling you made, though, then in theory, they played an ineligible player.
They
And
did.
that's real black letter law. That's super easy.
Yeah.
And of
Which.
course, the problem is are they going to punish, one of the darlings, Alabama? That's really what it comes down to.
God, you would hope. I certainly hope.
Yeah, I
Because.
saw somebody, I think it was on Tex Ags. They're like, "I got a super simple solution. Just go back to every game he played, take away his points, and then
And
that's the new result of the game." But the
which,
reality is somebody followed that up with, "Yeah, but the other catch is the minutes he played helped spell somebody and get rest. So it's not just the points he scored, it's the minutes that he had."
right.
And so that's where you have to go back to looking at vacating wins. You got to take them away. That's my opinion. I mean, I'm sure, everybody's got an opinion, but
I
like
don't disagree, and it's not just the fact that we lost to them. I think had that happened to anybody else, I mean, it happened to Auburn even, right? These are, poor Auburn.
I mean, we'll be more angry because it happened to us,
Sure.
but just step back, like take this A&M top off me. Like, let's just step back and talk about how stupid this entire situation was from start to finish. The finish was the only part that made any sense. I mean, technically, the finish would be them vacating wins, but again, like you said, I just don't think they have the teeth to do it. I don't think they will, which sucks. And I don't know how you do that. I mean, do you award the win to the other team, or do you just remove their loss? So it goes back to percentage on standings. So because not everybody's going to play Bama kind of thing. So it's, I don't know, man. It's such a mess, and it was like the perfect example of what everybody said was going to start happening when this first started. It was a whole can't put the toothpaste back in the tube kind of thing, right? But paying players and NIL and all that stuff, that's like, I mean, we're not even close, bro. This dude was in a professional league. Like, we're not even close right now. This is a completely different world where he's coming back from a professional league, a professional contract. And I think it's hilarious. Nate Oates is like, "Well, we're going to keep him on scholarship so we can finish his classes." You know what? That's, yeah. Okay. I want to see that. Like, that, to me, that's the funniest part of it. Well, I mean, he came back to finish his degree. Okay. Yeah, right.
So this is interesting. So I'm reading from NCAA President Charlie Baker didn't mention the idea of vacating wins in his brief statement in the wake of the Monday's ruling, but he did address it in an interview with Sports Illustrated last week. For a lot of really good reasons, people who lose in court can't turn around and punish the people who won.
We didn't lose in court. He did. None of the opponents lost in court. This wasn't Betty Ocko versus Texas A&M University.
Right. That's weird. Weird deal.
You're not punishing him. What you're doing is you're punishing the program for thinking that that was even acceptable.
Now, according to this, they're saying yes, those wins are going to count for them, at least at this stage.
It's the least shocking thing on the planet that this is happening under Nate Oates.
No, absolutely no shock there.
Yeah, it's just
Absolutely.
that, and that's the thing. Like, I understand that concept. I get it. Like, I get that, right?
Yeah.
But that's not this situation. This is apples to oranges.
Yes, very
Yeah,
different situation.
and what's going to be total crap is, after March Madness is over, they'll decide to vacate the wins at that point, like, and when it won't matter, So it's just frustrating. It's frustrating because this situation never came about. That's my problem with it.
Yeah.
That somebody at some point just said, "You know, it'd be a really good idea." I mean, he's just in the G League. We can get him back, get him enrolled in classes, and nobody thought to go, "That's really dumb."
Yeah.
Like that. Why? Why would we do that? That makes no sense. Everybody in the room basically collectively went, "Hey, you know what? That's not a bad idea. Yeah, let's do that. That's a good idea." And so just unbelievable. But at least they fixed it partially, right? And losing a 7-footer in college basketball is a big freaking idea,
Yeah.
or a big freaking deal.
Well, especially when you're running around with a bunch of small dudes like us. What
Yeah.
do you want us to do? What are we supposed to do?
Yeah. So.
Sit there and take it? It'll be fine. They'll
All
figure
right.
Yeah,
Well,
not a whole hell of a lot to get into this week. I know we touched on a lot in a very short amount of time, but
the
we
Super Bowl we could have talked a lot more about it if it hadn't sucked.
There wasn't much to talk about.
No, commercials were fun. It's whatever.
Yeah.
It was like Seahawks versus Patriots. You know how much of the country didn't watch that game? They had it on, but didn't pay attention to that game, probably.
What I want is more parity like what we've been seeing recently in college football. I want to see some teams that haven't been there in a while. That's what I want. I want to see teams that have never been there. I want to see the Texans in there. I want to see the Jaguars in there. They were both close.
I could pass on the Jags. Take it or leave them.
Yeah, give me the Jags, dude. Give me the Jags. Get them in there, man. They're the saddest damn franchise on the planet. They've never made it past they've never made it past the AFC Championship game. They made it twice, but they haven't pushed the
Factory of
team to
sadness still it's the factory of sadness is still in Cleveland.
always has been and always will be, and they've earned it.
Yes.
Sucks to be them.
They have earned it.
I would say I am just thrilled that the Patriots lost strictly for selfish reasons, because that means they are still sitting at six Super Bowls, so they have not eclipsed the Super Bowl height of the Steelers. So I know, got to hold on to that six for as long as humanly possible. But you turn around and then hire Mike McCaffrey, and I am about to lose it. Because what a stupid hire.
No, McCarthy.
McCarthy. I hated that. Yeah,
Oh
McCarthy.
yeah, I'm glad you got him. We did not care for him in Dallas.
And I didn't care for him being hired. And the moment that they announced it, I was like,
Yeah, that's
the Steelers' actual route for
we're a crap
success,
organization.
their route for success has always been, let's hire a mid-30s aged defensive coordinator from somewhere. And guess what happens? That ends up being a guy that lasts a long time. That's been the Steelers
He only
formula
wins the Super Bowl.
forever, and they win Super Bowls.
Not this time.
At this time, it's not going to happen. It's not. It's not going to happen under him. It won't.
No, no, not a chance.
No chance. And
I
I say
got
that
one
now.
quick. Oh, no, it's just no. Sorry. If there were any other coach, I might be like, you know what, maybe, because that's kind of what Pittsburgh does. But no, not Mike McCarthy, dog. I've seen that up close and personal. I'm good.
Watch him turn around and do it, though. I might lose my mind.
I got one quick question to close it out for you. What is your favorite Winter Olympic sport?
So, hockey, obviously, number one for me, I think. I love just because hockey is a sport already, so much of a blast. And I get to do it from the perspective of we're beating up on Canadians. Yes, love that. But
Yeah.
If it's not that, if we're going like more individual sports, or I mean, not even truly individual, I love bobsled. Bobsled is so fun.
Yeah, I like bobsled.
Bobsled's a
So
blast.
I am much like a lot of people. I am a massive curling fan.
And
Like
curling's amazing. Yeah.
I love curling. I love the ski jump. Like
Sure.
the big hill ski jump. Those dudes are insane. I mean, oddly enough, there's
And the
one more I
downhill.
like that I don't know that anybody likes, but I watch it. I love the biathlon.
Oh, yeah,
I
no, the
don't know
biathlon's
why.
great.
I don't know why. It's just cross-country skiing and shooting.
Well, see, and
I don't know.
the reason why I love that competition is because it does have historical context, especially in war, because the Finnish were really big on that.
Yeah,
I
that's
mean,
why they
that's,
still win all the medals.
yeah. So normally they're up the list on that. I was shocked. It was like, I can't remember. I think it was a French lady that won it this time around. I don't know. I gotta go back and watch. But Olympics are
Yeah.
always a blast.
Oh yeah, I'm an Olympics junkie. I like summer better than winter, but every time
Sure.
winter comes around, I'm like, I get to watch curling, so let's go.
Yeah, you get
And
curling and you get hockey and you do
well,
get the
I always
bobsled.
think it's so funny about hockey is that, on the men's side, forever it was dominated by the Eastern Bloc, right? That's where
Right.
all the hockey players from the NHL came from, was Russia, Czechoslovakia, all those places. On the women's side, like America and Canada are the powerhouses,
But
like literally
that
other side of the planet.
goes well, and see, that goes back to just the fact. I mean, this isn't a political podcast, but women opportunities in the United States and Canada are
Yeah.
significantly improved compared to places over there.
Oh, that's exactly why it's that way.
Yeah.
We allowed women in sports a lot way earlier than any of those countries did. It's just fun to watch them beat up. I mean, last I saw, they were beating the crap out of Canada today.
Oh, did they? Oh, I gotta go find out. I gotta go find
Yeah, it
out.
was like 3-0 in the second period, something like that. So yeah, the USA women's hockey team were just beating the snot out of them.
I gotta go find that. Oh, it's gonna irritate me. I can't find it. It's not wanting to pop up for me.
Well, I know they were up 3-0 at one point.
They
So,
won 5-0.
see, that's what's crazy too, is because generally it's like it's almost a coin flip between Canada and USA every year. And so for the U.S. to go out there and just absolutely like they pelted them like they pelted the other teams they're supposed to.
Yes.
They beat the Swiss and they beat, I think it was Finland. Yeah. So that's bonkers.
That is
Like
bonkers.
that's a big number to be playing against Canada or to put up against Canada.
Yep.
So.
We are currently, for those paying attention, we are currently sitting in fourth in total medals at
Really?
seven.
That's surprising.
We're behind Japan, Italy, and Norway leading the way at 12.
Well, there's a whole lot of skiing events that are
Right.
popping up that we'll fall behind on.
All right. Yeah, we got a couple of golds, three silvers, two bronze. So.
Oh, you know what? One more sport I absolutely love. Speed skating.
Speed skating is fun too.
I love speed skating, and I love the fact that it's basically like the national sport for the Dutch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was watching the video of them doing it the other day. I mean, that whole arena was orange.
Yeah.
And their guy wasn't even like one of the top competitors. It's just that's what they dig. That's
They
their jam.
dominate species. Like legit, I think it's their national sport. But there's only two types of people in this world I hate. Those who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the
The
Dutch.
Dutch. Always the Dutch. All right. Thank you guys so much for checking out our podcast today. This is the Red Ass Podcast. Be sure to follow us on our socials. That's going to be Rob the Slapper on X and Instagram, Roy May 15 on X, Junior on Instagram. Be sure to follow the Red Ass Podcast as well. Give us a like, comment, subscribe on YouTube if that's where you catch us. If not, add it onto your regular episodes that are coming up on your Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. We do appreciate you guys jamming out with us. It was, it's a kind of a slow time of it's slow, but it's not because we have all the
It's,
sports going on.
but
And
they're in their, the outside of basketball, they're in their infancy. So we'll, next week after we have some baseball, we've actually been able to see the team. This will be a little bit more in depth. Once I've seen a lineup.
yeah, once we're cooking a little bit with seeing how this team looks and how the rest of our sports are cruising
Yeah.
along, gonna feel pretty good.
Softball with some ranked matches.
Yeah.
We'll start heating back up.
No question about it, guys. As far as shows coming up, if you are in the Corpus Christi area, we're playing a new venue down there called Fifth and Elm. It's really cool. Outdoor stage down by the beach. The weather's been very nice down there by the coast at Corpus. So if you're in the area, come check us out. And then we're also at Cheatham Street in San Marcos. After that, we're heading to Colorado and Wyoming at the end of the month. So we will be highlighting all of that excitement as we get a little bit closer to it.
Nice. Back on the road.
Back on the road. Glad to be back on the road. It has been too long. But I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We're the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. We will see you guys next time around. Beat the hell out of Missouri. Beat the hell out of everything else going on. There's just so much to beat the hell out of.
Everybody.
Beat the hell out of everybody.
Everybody and everything.
Gig 'em. We'll see you next time.